Dan Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always. It's Relationship Therapy with Rachel Cook.
Oh, yes. I just love Wednesdays for this very, very reason. So there's nothing like that feeling of letting off a bit of steam with your colleagues, especially around this time of year. But how can you weigh up the odds between what's fun, festive flirting, and what will lead to a not very merry cringemas? See what I did there? Cringemas. Anyway, our resident sex and relationship expert Rachel Cook is on the line now to talk about the office Christmas party. Dun dun dun. Rachel, how are you?
I'm good, Lottie. Loving the puns there.
Thank you. I do love a good pun. Listen, before we talk about the party, I mean, is it ever a good idea to date a colleague?
Oh, very rarely, to be honest, but at the same time, lots of people do it. It's how many, many people have met in the past who are, you know, very happily, have had very happy relationships, and it's been, you know, wonderful. So it can be a lot of fun, and it's also risky. It's risky.
It is risky. But I think maybe I'm wrong, but is it more risky trying to make the office crimbo party the place to make it happen?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think that's probably more risky. Yeah, like doing it at the Christmas party, you're just very likely to find that you wake up the next day and you're like, oh, God, what happened? Either that you can't, you know, ideally, it's not that you can't remember it, but that is the case for some people, that there's parts of it that they're a bit blurry on because of the amount of booze involved, you know. And so just kind of bearing in mind that what can seem like a great idea when you're a bit tipsy or rat arse drunk is not going to seem like such a great idea the next day when you then have to deal with all those people and have potentially, you know, maybe mortified yourself or, you know, gotten into a situation that you now feel uncomfortable about because you don't quite know how to handle it going forward. Because again, you know, most people, lots of people will have someone in the office who they fancy, and there might be reasons why that's actually a really bad idea outside of the fact that you're working together. So those are things to consider as well. But I would say, again, lots of people do it. You know, it's not really for me to sit here and say, don't ever kiss someone at the office party. But at the same time, you're very, very likely to feel, to either strongly regret it or at least feel very uncomfortable and awkward and not quite know how to handle it afterwards, which is not ideal.
Well, kissing aside then, what about like a bit of harmless flirting?
Sure, as long as you and the other person have the same idea of what harmless means, because what to you might be totally harmless, they might find really forward, uncomfortable. They might feel that they don't know how to react, or that they go into you kind of a fawning, people-pleasing response where you read it as they're flirting back with you, and they may not be at all. They may just not really know how to respond, or that they end up, you know, kind of not like engaging with you, and you feel really rejected and weird about it. So,
like, how do you read that?
Ideally, you don't read it probably in the middle of the Christmas party, I would say, because again, it mostly because of the, you know, the kind of power aspect, you know, even if there isn't major hierarchy between you and this person, you know, that they're not necessarily your boss or your manager or your employee because you're the boss or the manager, you know, that even if things are a bit more horizontal in terms of, you know, power dynamics, you might still find that, you know, people are kind of a bit trapped depending on the size of the office and the way in which everything is kind of set up, how many of you there are. All of that stuff is going to come into play. So, you know, I would say be very careful about what you mean by harmless flirting, because sure, lots of people, if you've had banter before and that feels like something that's quite easy and comfortable between you, then great. But probably if you haven't had that with someone before, you know, the Christmas party, the work Christmas party, is probably not the time to be, you know, given that, shooting your shot and seeing how it goes.
But what if you could keep it under wraps from everyone? Like, would it be worth a little bit of illicit sexy fun on the night if it's been kept under wraps?
If you can guarantee that it's going to be kept under wraps and you feel like this is something that is very much consensual, you've thought through how you might handle it the next day, or, you know, you might be in a situation with at work where there's lots of, I don't know, contractors or people who, you know, don't end up being there for a long time, or maybe it's just a really big company and you're not too worried about bumping into them, or how that might look, or how people might gossip or talk about that, because you also can never guarantee that it will stay under wraps either, because you just don't know that the other person might tell their friends, even though they tell their friend or their colleague and make their colleague swear not to tell anyone else, and suddenly, you know, it's gotten around the whole office. Or the fact that, you know, if something actually happens on the night, there's pretty much no way to guarantee that no one is going to see that.
No, so, and I think if they've got loose lips at the party, they'll have loose lips in the office.
Big time, big time.
That's what I think.
That often is the case. So you've got to really weigh this up, because for some people, again, they're going to be in a situation where this is not going to, you know, be jeopardize their career or be a threat to their job. And for other people, it very much could be. So, you know, you kind of want to think about that before you get legless and end up doing something that you regret.
OK, let's say, Rachel, it doesn't go well. So let's say you've just decided, I've been thinking about making the move for ages now. I'm going to get the guts to do it at the Christmas party. This is my moment. And you get rejected.
Yeah.
How in God's name do you go back to a decent working relationship after getting rejected?
Oh, that one's quite simple. I feel like having a chat with them either right then and there, or, you know, when you're back in the office, or maybe if you are already in contact outside of, you know, the office itself, you could just have a chat and ask them if they're finding it awkward or difficult, and if there's anything maybe that they need to feel comfortable, if you feel like you need to get something off your chest. Because, you know, realistically, I feel like, you know, a lot in Ireland, we're particularly mortified about the idea of being rejected. And, you know, actually, life goes on. The world, you know, keeps spinning, and it's fine to approach someone, as long as you do it respectfully and tell them that you're interested in them, and for them to say, you know, I'm not interested. Maybe they give you more detail, maybe they don't. Either way, you know, it doesn't make you some sort of horrible chump or loser just because someone turned you down. There could be all sorts of reasons, including the fact that you work together, that they may not be up for going there. So I would say just, you know, not getting into a place of having a really sort of fragile ego about it. Totally understandable if you feel kind of disappointed, miffed, you know, upset about it. But you don't need to project that onto the other person. Just be like, hey, are we cool? Is there anything that you need? You know, I don't want this to be awkward between us. Obviously, you also need to weigh up, is this like a massive crush that you've had for a really long time that is actually starting to become problematic for you and potentially in, you know, your behavior towards this person? Or is this just someone who, you know, you kind of liked the idea of having a kiss with, or you'd really like something to happen, but it's not a big deal? So you've got to look at yourself as well. You know, what's your sort of responsibility and part in this? And then just have a chat with them.
And I think it's also worth pointing out, there's some offices where they actually, I'd say, have it written into contracts that you can't have a relationship with people that you work with. Because,
big time.
Yeah,
There's so much variety, Lottie, in this. You know, I've had people who absolutely have had to sign all sorts of things to say that they won't get romantically or sexually involved, or even, you know, kind of platonically involved with co-workers or certain co-workers. So, you know, there's just a real kind of spectrum there of how companies, organizations might approach that depending on the kind of nature of the work. And so, you know, you'd want to have a good idea of what that is.
I think there
might be a company policy that if you don't know, you could be out on your ear, and that would be sad.
Yeah, if you're thinking about making a move, be 100% sure you know if you're even allowed to make a move before you go in and do it at the Christmas party. So say, let's forget the romantic aspect.
Yeah.
Like, think if you've, let's say you've embarrassed yourself, Rachel. Let's say, like me, you decided to get up on the mechanical bull in front of your boss.
Oh, yeah.
What's the best way of making amends?
Well, it depends on the, you know, what you're, I'm guessing, you know, if this place already had a mechanical bull, then, you know, there was a mechanical bull there to be ridden.
There wasn't.
So, you know, there's only so embarrassing that can be, I would say.
This was just brought in for the night, Rachel. And
it was there to have a go on.
Thank you.
There you go. You were just taking part in the fun and the entertainment that was provided.
Exactly.
Yes. But if that's the case of, you know, for some people, it's the case that they got, like, they might have, I don't know, shouted at their boss, said something that they really shouldn't have said, gossiped about a colleague and it got back to them. Maybe they ended up getting, you know, way too drunk and, you know, like puked everywhere, or just, you know, were really, really out of it or something like that. Then you're just going to need to hold your hands up again. Take responsibility like an adult. Don't go into a shame hole. Don't go into denial. Don't do that either. Don't be like, I'm a terrible person who doesn't deserve to work here and everybody now needs to cater to my feelings and reassure me that I'm not a terrible person. You know, just own it and be like, hey, that wasn't cool behavior. I'm really sorry. If there's anything that anybody, you know, wants to talk about, have a chat about, I really don't want people to feel like uncomfortable. But again, weigh that up. You know, there's going to be some people who are much more likely to deny the fact that their behaviour had negative consequences.
I think that's way worse. I think if you have been in a particularly embarrassing state,
yeah,
coming in and pretending that it didn't happen is going to make people talk about it more. I think coming in and just owning it the next morning, or saying, oh, I think maybe I'd won too many lemonades, or maybe I shouldn't have done ABC. I think that is, it's so much more admirable. And you're also just going to cut the legs from underneath anybody who's thinking about having a gossip about you.
Yeah. Well, and also if there's any hint that you might have, you know, been kind of like acted poorly towards someone,
or been rude.
I really think it's a better idea to say, you know, either if you know there's a particular person who you definitely know that you did something that was out of line, then you need to ideally speak to them directly if they're willing to talk to you about it. Or you at least need to reference the fact that, you know, you're open to people, you know, kind of discussing whatever happened with you, because you want, you know, things to be like comfortable and decent between you. That can feel really mortifying to do, because, you know, it makes us feel shame. It makes us feel guilt. It makes us feel bad about ourselves.
Oh, but it's in the long run, I think it's way better to just fall on the sword, deal with the pain, and then it's better to move on. Now, what about the other end? What if it goes great? Like, You go in for the kill, it goes really well, it turns out you both feel the exact same way. How can you be a couple at work without it being like weird and awkward and, I suppose, potentially making everyone hate you in the office?
Yeah, just be respectful about it again. Okay. You're not going to be the first or last person who's ended up getting with someone at work and that turns into a longer term relationship. You know, don't be scoring the heads off each other or getting handsy at the water cooler. But at the same time, you know, you can still kind of make it, you know, you can either be very discreet about it, which some people seem to think they're being really discreet and it's not discreet at all. Other people end up in relationships for years, sometimes even marriages, and no one else at work ever finds out. So you're probably going to want to have a chat with the other person about how you want to manage that, because one of you know, you might have different ideas between you as to how you would like to go about that. So firstly, get on board with each other about how you want to go about that. And then you can decide, you know, are there certain people you want to tell? Would you rather wait a certain amount of time potentially to see how the relationship goes? All those sorts of things. I would say, you know, basically just be, you know, mature and have conversations, communicate with each other, and, you know, it should be fine.
Now, I've had a couple of texts in with, I suppose, different scenarios.
Yeah.
Can I give them to you?
Please do.
Okay, so somebody has texted in saying, help, I've kissed my boss under the mistletoe. What do I do now?
Yeah. Okay, so you're going to want to, if it's your boss, so you're in a, you know, lower like position in terms of the power dynamic, the hierarchy. So I would hope that your boss would be the person to speak to you first
I was just kind of thinking that, yeah.
Yeah, well, like ideally you might want to wait a little bit of time. And if that's not forthcoming, you're certainly going to, I'm sure, want to have a conversation again. You know, you're probably going to feel a bit like, oh, what if I jeopardize something by making my boss feel awkward, or, you know, God forbid that something happened that, you know, you might not feel actually very comfortable about, either because you recognize that one or both of you was too drunk and weren't able to properly kind of, you know, consent to what was going on, or, you know, you did consent, but you realize now that you consented because you were very drunk, that you're going to want to discuss that. So I would say, you know, just setting up a meeting about that and having, you know, it could be a very informal chat, or, you know, you could make it more formal depending on what the scenario was. But, you know, that's an awkward one because sometimes it just goes quite smoothly and easily. And it's just like, oh, okay, you know,
it is what it is.
Our lips touched for a few moments and life goes on. And other times that can be potentially quite earth shattering because someone might have been cheating in that scenario. Someone might have, you know, just really overstepped the line. So it's really going to be down to the individual, you know, kind of the people involved and the situation. So, you know, it doesn't have to be a terrible thing, but also, you know, it could be very uncomfortable. So have a chat.
Okay. Scenario number two coming in from a listener.
Yeah.
I feel really bad for this person. I think I might have kissed a workmate at my Christmas party, but they haven't mentioned anything, so I'm not sure. Should I even bring it up or should I just stay silent?
So again, I would probably err on the side of bringing it up. You know, most of us want to err on the side of denying,
embarrassing,
ignoring, avoiding, you know, just saying nothing about it because we don't want to be embarrassed. And the thing is, if you think it happened, you know, if you say to someone, hey, I'm not sure if something happened between us, you know, just wanted to check in with you. If they're like, oh, what? No, I don't remember anything. Then, you know, although, again, you might feel a bit embarrassed, it's better that you've checked that out and everything's fine. And you can just be like, God, never mind me. God, I'm going to be, you know, a bit more careful with the booze next time, kind of thing. And if something did happen between you, then you can have the conversation about what you want to do with that. You know, make sure that, especially since you can't remember, you need to check, do they feel okay about it? You know, ask them if they're comfortable to share with you what happened, so that you can kind of piece together from that and decide what you want to do about it. Because if you just let it slide by, you know, we really kind of fester in those kind of silences and shame. Where you can really think that in the short term it can feel better because you're not feeling so embarrassed, but in the medium to long term that could really shoot you in the foot.
Okay, let's try get just one more in. I saw my married colleague canoodling with another colleague. What are my options here and what are the repercussions I should think through?
Oh, so this one's, you know, okay, I would start off with saying, number one, you don't know for sure that person is in a monogamous marriage. Maybe this was fine and consensual. Maybe
fair,
they're ethically
point,
non-monogamous.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, that's possible. Although, you know, it does tend to be, you know, it's not something that is the majority of people for sure. So I would say don't assume, but also, you know, you're going to have to look at, again, the positions of the kind of power dynamics of people, because if you're the, you know, the boss or you're a high up manager, you're going to have a lot more kind of freedom and power to be able to, you know, talk about things with less threat probably to your position and job. If you're much lower down in the pecking order, then, you know, on one hand, you might feel like, well, I'd rather stand up for what, you know, I think is important, my values, my integrity. And if I lose my job, I lose my job, I'll just get another one. Or you might be like, this is a job that is, you know, really important to me. And, you know, I'm not really willing to risk that. So I would say kind of really considering your position in the company or organization. And then, you know, if you know one or both of the people, you know, you kind of have to decide how much do you want to be involved here. Some people will err on the side of, I don't want to be involved in other people's business. What they do is what they do. I stick to my stuff. And other people will go very much the other end of the spectrum, which is, I want to be involved in every bit of gossip and stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
So I would say try to find some kind of balance between those things, which is, you know, recognizing that you don't know the full story and there's only so much that you're going to be able to get involved or do. And you don't want to be burning bridges, but also you might be like, hey, this isn't cool. I don't want this kind of behavior going on around me, and I'd rather say something about it and try not to be kind of attacking, blaming, shaming about it. And hopefully that'll work out.
I think overall, think things through before you do anything, and be prepared to be honest the next day. I think be prepared to address situations and have some honesty around whatever has gone on at the office Christmas party. There you go, gang. Anyway, that is the Christmas party romance cheat sheet. Rachel, thanks a million for joining us.
You're so welcome. See you again.
See you again. Merry Christmas. Rachel is, of course, a psychotherapist and mental health consultant. And she's on Instagram, lads, if you want to check her out, at Rachel Jane Cook.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.